And welcome to another edition of Nahuan Community Warriors for Change Radio. In this edition, we have a discussion with the principals of the Two Feathers Native American Family Services. We're going to find out why it is important they offer the services and passions that they do. So could I get you both to introduce yourselves and who you are and what your relationship is with this discussion?
Yeah. Hi, Joe. Hi, listeners out there. So my name is Shoshone Gentile Hostler, and I am the Native Connections Director for Two Feathers, and I'm also a mental health clinician for Two Feathers Native American Family Services, primarily working in the Hoopa area.
Hello, I'm Virgil Moorhead Jr. I'm the Executive Director of Two Feathers Native American Family Services, and I'm also a licensed clinical psychologist and do a lot of work up in the schools in Hoopa, seeing youth. And I'm also part of the Big Lagoon Rancheria and live out here in McKinleyville.
So that's where you're based right now, is in McKinleyville?
Yes.
Very good. Okay, now the Two Feathers Native American Family Services. What is it that you want to talk about in this? What is that you're doing?
So we have a variety of services that service youth and their families here at Two Feathers. We have a mentorship program with our Acorn Wellness program. We have A-Chat and Sodaquam, which are focused on child abuse, sexual abuse survivors, providing them services. We have our Native Connections program with our Youth Ambassador program, and we're doing a lot of youth mental health and youth community mental health and school-based mental health programming. And then we have our advocate program. So that's an extension of our mentorship program, and then we can get more into details about what each service provides.
Yeah, I think we're really trying to provide as much access and opportunity for Native American youth and their families for mental health and wellness services, and we have a strong programming out in Hoopa, in Eastern Humboldt, in Orleans, downriver. And really, you know, I think we're driven by being able to provide the needed, as we see it, services for youth and their families around mental health and substance use, abuse programming. And we go about, you know, meeting those needs of our community in ways that Shoshone talked about, you know, through mentorship, through counseling, through cultural-based programming. But really, you know, we're driven by trying to provide opportunities and access to our Native youth and families around mental health and wellness.
Well, it sounds like you're really doing a lot. It's taking a big chunk of the development of Native youth self-esteem. I think once they get their feet on the ground, get some understanding and knowledge behind them, and they can take this a long ways.
Yeah, we really try to provide services for everybody, what they're looking for and what they need. So, like, for the mentorship program, that's cultural-based mentorship that is readily accessible to each family and youth that want to sign up and be part of that programming. So sometimes, COVID has made that a little bit difficult, but pre-COVID, we were able to have some very large events and functions that really brought the community together, and we're able to provide some general knowledge and some activities for youth. And then we also have some specialized services for, like I said, for the child abuse, for sexual assault survivors, for substance abuse programming, for counseling services. And then in addition, I think we're pretty creative in the ways in which we can service the families and what their needs might be, and really trying to provide as much comprehensive care that we can for what the students and the youth and their families are telling us are their priorities and what they need to help try to develop some real solid like identity formation and all that kind of good stuff.
I think that's good. I think, you know, I think we're just trying to model as an agency and in our programming how, you know, we as Native people come from really profound, positive, disciplined histories and traditions and ways of being. So I think we're trying to do our small part at Two Feathers to help in any way that we can with youth and Native youth and families to stay on that path, that living life in a good way that very much comes from who we are as Native people and our traditions and our practices and our customs, and really just helping in any way that we can to make the right decisions in life and support people to bring out the best in them, because we believe that, you know, everybody has good redeeming qualities, and you know, we want to help people bring that out, and in so doing help in any way that we can build a stronger community, whether it's out here on the coast in McKinleyville or out in Hoopa. Just, you know, I think we're just one small piece of the puzzle, but we want, you know, to collaborate with the local schools, Climate Trinity, we have MOU, collaborate with Kamau, collaborate with other folks to work together to help to strengthen our community. And we try to do that through sort of a strength-based, asset-driven, where instead of, you know, blaming or pathologizing our communities, our families, we believe in our communities and families and want to bring out the best in them.
So part of that MOU with the school district, could you share some of the details and what they bring to help you do what you're doing?
Yeah, so back in 2018, we got a big grant, and it was in collaboration with Climate Trinity Joint Unified School District to do, and I think we were the first, at that time, the first agency and partnership to provide intensive outpatient substance abuse programming for youth in this county, and that's not just for Natives. And so that started in 2018, and so we were in, you know, I was up there personally doing groups at Hoopa High School, Captain John, and elementary school, and also offering counseling, because so often if there's a substance abuse issue, there's also a mental health issue. And so we're offering mental health counseling, youth wellness programming in the school starting in 2018 through that MOU. And that was about the same time that the Wellness Center at Climate Trinity Joint Unified School Districts opened. And so we, including myself, started offering counseling, wellness groups, other programming, substance abuse counseling in that Wellness Center. And so, you know, we've expanded from like a staff of 2 to 3 in that Wellness Center into like a staff of 10 to 12 that can offer services in the school district. You know, before the pandemic hit, we were offering a group out in Orleans. We were offering counseling at Jack Norton and others. Although I don't think it was as strong as the services that we're offering at the Wellness Center and primarily for the Hoopa High School students, we definitely were offering some services, and we hope to be able to build out those services as schools starting to open. And so really, I think we're a school-based mental health model out there. We offer other services, but through that MOU, and it originally started through a youth substance abuse counseling.
Well, that's impressive. Yeah, so not very many school districts and Native organizations such as yours are doing this.
Exactly. I think it's, you know, Hoopa and Klamath Trinity, if I'm honest, like, is leading the way in this, you know, in the sense of how many kids, before the pandemic hit, we were averaging around the wellness center, the Klamath Trinity Wellness Center was averaging around 60 to 70 kids a week in counseling. Now, and that was primarily elementary and high school students. There's nowhere other in this county that's seen that many students in behavioral health, mental health counseling. And I think Klamath Trinity has a lot to, there's a lot of positive to say about their vision of building that wellness center. Because without that wellness center that the district paid for, and there was a lot of community organizing and a lot of working with the board to create that wellness center. Without that wellness center, we wouldn't have been, I don't think, being able to see 60 to 70 kids in counseling. So it's been a lot of work that I think people such as those that work within the wellness center at Klamath Trinity, as well as like Hoopa Education and Erica and others, of saying, hey, like we need more trauma-informed interventions and more programming for our kids. And through that movement, they were able to get that wellness center up and operating. And that has really, I think, helped with providing mental health services in the school district and substance abuse counseling and services in the school district. And we've been one part in that, in the sense of being able to get clinicians, mental health clinicians, and substance abuse counselors into the schools to offer those services.
Wow, impressive.
Joe, I also wanted to mention that we have a couple new MOUs this year that just got signed with the Hoopa Boys and Girls Club, and in addition, Hoopa Recreation Department as well. So we're hoping to kind of build off the school-based mental health into community-based mental health services for adolescents as well, so that they really get to have access to services in whichever setting they choose and wherever they're at and where they're spending their time. So this year, what's different for us is that we're in our first year of our Native Connections grant. And so along with the ambassador program, so we have a new ambassador program, which is a work-related program to help us plan and develop what these systems should look like for the youth, to build up their leadership and advocacy skills. They're working on food sovereignty projects. They're also working on learning more about mental health and peer support so that they could be good allies and supports for their other peers. We're hoping that when school starts up back to normal, that we might be able to utilize that as a service in the wellness center as well. And then also the Boys and Girls Club gives us a really good opportunity to expand after school programming and job skills training. And so there's just a whole wealth of opportunity with these partnerships that we're really being able to develop right now.
Yeah, I look forward to more work with the younger people in our communities. There's always this talk about colonialization and how we got off track. But actually, we never left, in my thinking. It's just, we were distracted. We're still here. And it's just a matter of refocusing more of our energies to do what you're building right here. Mm-hmm. And you're building the self-esteem of our young people who are going to be the adult leaders of tomorrow. So get everything back on track. I am looking forward to getting more young voices into audio. This whole technology, us old folks call it radio, but it's actually audio. It's a way of getting our points and ideas and our questions and our answers and our opinions to a wider audience. Facebook and texting and all these other things are really good resources, but they have a narrower scope, whereas radio and broadcast and audio and broadcast reaches everybody at one time. And all you have to do is turn on that device on your computer or on your kitchen table, and you hear what other people are talking about. I am looking forward to the time when more of the younger age natives in our communities start using this older technology that we call radio, but it's audio, and just use it as another element, another tool in forging a new life that is better than the one that we have been experiencing for the past 50 years, or maybe 160 years. It was only in the 1850s that settlers came into Hoopa, as contrasting with people on the East Coast. So we don't have that far to go to get back in that sense. And that's why our cultures and our beliefs and our whole mental element of who we are is still very strong. And I think just a couple of good nudges in the right direction, and in addition to some of these other things that have come into our consciousness, we could just spring off that. I'm thinking about this whole paradigm needs to be shifted back to where it was before. You know, what would it be like to live a traditional life in modern times? And play with that. And get the younger people thinking about that. You know, it's very important. Now, in language, diet, exercise, land, the understanding of soil as opposed to dirt, climate, absolutely. The generations before those who are the young people now really did a number on the climate, and we're experiencing it right now. I don't know where this COVID came from, but it's what it has done is paused our life. We slowed down quite a bit. So now new thoughts are starting to emerge, and new ways of communications are starting to appear. We're doing a lot more Zoom calls. While this interview right now, we're doing it because we're not in the same studio. We're doing it over a conference call. Well, we need to get and start listening to more Zoom presentations that are centered and focused on the younger minds and their younger ideas and their younger questions, and see where it goes. There's always a need for older opinions and older experiences to build something different, because you can never fix anything using the same mindset that got you into that situation in the first place. You got to think different. And I'm looking forward to that time when our young people get together, those here in the valley, those on the coast, those across the country, start coming together and talking about that. Just throw it out there. Let them talk. And let's listen. And the work that you're doing helps eliminate some of that fog, because there's a smoke screen that went down across all of our lives. And some of us raise above that, and some of us don't, and some of us are still struggling, and some of us know that there's something else. Because in the back of our mind, we kind of remember that.
Yeah, thank you for that, Joe. I think you're speaking a lot to that Indigenous knowledge, and really understanding that, you know, I think that's incredibly relevant today, considering that a lot of the research that's coming out now supports some of those Indigenous knowledge bases and the practices that we've been doing for so long. And so being able to provide access to some of those experts or cultural leaders to our youth, and just making that connection and allowing that process to happen for them. With our community coalition, so what we decided to do, we have a new HOOPA community coalition, and it's the acronym HOOPS, and it stands for Helping Others Overcome and Prevent Suicide. And it is a youth-based coalition where we have several of our youth advocates. Our last meeting, or ambassadors, sorry, our last meeting, we had 9 youth ambassadors join the meeting, and they're going to select a co-chair that is a youth that helps run the meeting and really be there to represent and provide that youth voice, and just trying to make sure that in everything we're doing, that we look and ask like where that youth voice is. And I know that you were really interested with the climate change and being able to get a bunch of youth together for that. I think a big part of it is now they get an opportunity to practice communicating and learning different ways of using technology that maybe they didn't need to use before or didn't have to. They were able to see their friends in person, and now they're able to build some different skills. And, you know, however we can help in that process, you know, I think that's really what we're here for.
Okay. I'm game for that. I'm just love to see how this all works out. And if there's anything I could do, you know, I got a wealth of knowledge over here and a lot of toys to play with.
I think as the HOOPS Coalition continues to grow with our, we're going to be developing social media pages, you know, just being able to advertise that and put out dates for our upcoming meetings. You know, we're looking to partner with any and all agencies that would like to be part of the coalition. Like I said, it is a youth-led coalition, so really listening to those community members that are youth that have ideas about how to address suicide and substance abuse in the Hoopa Valley and surrounding areas also. I think that's really important. How best can other agencies support the coalition, and how best can the coalition reach out to the community to really make an impact and a difference? So, you know, I will keep you updated with any of our contact information and any of our meeting agendas and dates, so that we can, you know, hopefully spread the word and really get that to be a robust coalition.
Very good. I'm looking forward to that too. My goodness.
And also, we, you know, if you come up with any, you know, great opportunities for our ambassadors, that's definitely something that we can consider and be, you know, hoping to partner in the future.
Well, what I come across is trainings that are really in-depth journalistic type of trainings. And they are looking for people who have bought into in their minds a curiosity to know more about journalism. Mm-hmm. And so they invite people to take part in this, and they have special requirements too. They're looking for people who have already proven that they have this interest, and they also have some recognition already established. So these are ongoing things. Every year I get these things all the time. There's all these different, sometimes they're on the East Coast, sometimes they're in the Midwest, sometimes they're right here in California. And they have this ongoing training opportunities that bring them mentorships. And it's not just go out to a workshop and come back and good luck. They follow you. They give you the support that you need. I'm starting to gather all that information and put it all in one manual and say, here it is, just look out for it because it comes up every year. Mm-hmm. And so if young people start looking at that and start understanding that there's this opportunity, I can go so far here. But if I had some more information and I did my homework and build up my base of knowledge locally, I could leverage that into something bigger. That's what I can add right now.
That sounds perfect. I think what we're doing with the ambassadors is they've started to do a digital storytelling project where we had a couple youth sit in with the Native Connections national training on digital storytelling, and they were able to see what software to use, how to create a storyboard, how to create an actual story with dialogue and from beginning to end. And now we're trying to expand that out to the rest of the ambassadors so that they all get an opportunity to learn that skill and practice telling their story and what they might want other people to know or to hear about them. Right now, they like the pictures. They're a little bit nervous about adding in their actual audio. So I think that it is a process, and maybe we can figure out a way in which we kind of build up their skills so that they get really comfortable being able to speak over the radio or have their voices recorded, and then think about what does journalism mean and how would they pursue that, and is it something that they would be interested in? So I definitely think there could be a longer process there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The number of young people and older people who started out here are very shy, very, very shy. They didn't want to talk. But get them some experience in radio and audio and get them listening to it and get some coaching on how to do it better, and now you can't shut them up. They're not shy anymore. They talk with confidence, and that comes with practice and just getting feedback and getting inspired and having that drive to do it better all the time. And it works.
It is an excellent platform. I think part of it is plugging in into the projects that they're passionate about, and then they're able to speak more on those topics and those projects that really mean something to them. So, Virgil, do you have anything else that we might want to add before we wrap up?
I think it sounds good. Thanks for having us on. The more we can, help bring up our youth and give them skills and collaborate with partners so that, they learn skills and do stuff that's meaningful to them, the better. So, any collaboration I think would be good for our youth that we're working with or you're working with, just partnering, yeah.
Don't touch that dial, we're not done yet. We're going to take a little break and we'll be right back. We continue our discussion with Two Feathers, Native American Family Services. I'm trying to get a hold of some other youth groups in North Dakota. And this is coming through the Aspen Institute. They have an organization there in the in North Dakota. There's a radio station. It's owned by the three affiliate tribes, and They have their weekly program there. Sometimes it's just a couple of youth, but sometimes it's several of them. And they talk about what's on their mind. They talk about news, and they play some music, and they do their own mix. And that's something that is available here. We only broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, so we've got a lot of time to fill. And language is another aspect of knowing your culture from its original perspectives, and to understand that and to carry that along, and understanding the essence of it, even if you're not a fluent speaker, is also something that is advantageous. So it's a mix of communicating, and it's a mix of listening and respecting. And I think that it's time, and I'm in this pandemic situation that we're in, it has given us a break to sit back and say, okay, now what is the new normal? Because we can't go back to the normal, because the normal is what got us here. So there's got to be something new. So let's put all of our minds together, and that includes the young people, because, hey, they're going to carry on. And the thoughts from us old folks, and I say old folks because I'm 74. So the thoughts from my generation of the boomers got to bust. And we got to open that door, make the door, and then put something inside so when they come in, there's something to work with. And there's all the tools that they need, and they can tink around with them however they want and build something completely different.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. I wanted to also say that if there are community members who know of youth that would want to sign up and be part of our mentorship program, you know, we are still accepting applications for that. You can find the application on our website. We're still taking referrals all the time through the school, and also through community referrals for any of our other counseling services, our SUD program, and we also have a crisis line. I was going to get the number for you really quick, so that if anybody that's listening knows a youth or a family that might benefit from getting connected to services, just letting them know that we're here and available. And our crisis line is 707-382-0629. We know that the pandemic is difficult for everyone right now, being away from family and friends and just not being able to connect in the ways that we're used to. So, you know, we're hoping to really be there to provide any kind of emotional support for anybody who might be needing it right now. So if you have any referrals, you can pick up the phone and call our office number, or fill out a application online, and we'll be sure to get right back to you.
Does Two Feathers have connections with the various tribal courts as well?
I think not like formal like we do with the schools, but I think informally, you know, I think we've collaborated on cases and stuff like that. But as far as like a formal sort of MOU partnership with the Tribal Wellness Court or that, no. We've been primarily, I think, school-based mental health service. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, well, that's a strong element, because there's far more youth in the school district. Okay.
The Yurok Tribal Court also has quite a few of their employees that come to our coalition meetings and sit in on those as well to listen and provide feedback, so I think that that's really fantastic. And then we also have a number of our youth advocates, which are employees that are anywhere from their early 20s on to probably mid-30s, who provide some one-on-one mentorship, advocacy. So sometimes they can accompany youth to court hearings and things like that, just to be there for support for them as well.
Anything more you want to add to this?
I think that covers a lot of what we do up there.
Could you repeat the phone numbers that people can contact you at and a website as well if there's that option?
So the website is twofeathers-nafs.org. So www.twofeathers, and two is spelt out, so T-W-O, twofeathers-nafs.org. And NAFS stands for Native American Family Services. That's our website. And then, you know, you can follow us on Facebook, Two Feathers NAFS. We post all of our events and our programming on Facebook and Instagram, Two Feathers NAFS on Instagram. And then, you know, we have a YouTube channel too, Two Feathers NAFS, where if we have virtual, we've been doing a lot of virtual talks and trainings, and so we'll put those recordings on our YouTube channel. And so that's our sort of social media and our website. And then Shoshone has the number.
So our regular office number out here in McKinleyville is 707-839-1933. And our crisis number is 707-382-0629.
Okay. Could you give me a sample of what's on your YouTube channel and what kind of...
Yeah, well, you know, we did an Indigenous virtual speaker series, right, starting with when the pandemic hit, so like April, and we invited all sorts of Indigenous and non-Indigenous leaders across the nation and even worldwide to talk about Native mental health and wellness, education, and cultural-based programming. So all of our virtual Indigenous speaker series trainings are on that. We've done numerous trainings with Climate Trinity Joint Unified School District as well as Northern Humboldt on school-based mental health and education, you know, with a strong emphasis on Indigenous perspectives. Those trainings are on our YouTube. We had a youth sort of Indigenous virtual speaker series, where we had youth, some of our youth talk and panels and different things, just talking about their perspectives around mental health and wellness. Those videos are on our YouTube channel. We've had, you know, numerous local cultural leaders, including up in the Hoopa Valley, do trainings on culturally specific ways of promoting well-being and mental health. Those talks are on our YouTube. Local Native college professors, like from Humboldt State, such as like Dr. Kashan Larry Cooper, Dr. Kutcher Risling Baldwin, has done training for us. Those are on our YouTube channel.
Had a narrative therapy speaker series and one on suicide prevention. We've done our tech addiction series as it relates to increased technology use during the pandemic. Those are all on there as well. And then our food sovereignty series is also on there because, you know, our focus is not just on deficit base, as Dr. Virgil Moorhead was stating earlier, that we're not just looking at problems, but we're also looking at wellness for the sake that we should be well, right? And so a huge part of that is our Indigenous food ways. So that's on there as well.
Well, that is really great. I got to figure out how we can promote those. I didn't know because I didn't have had access to those. So I imagine there's other people too. Kind of working out in my mind of how can this radio station connect with everything that's out there so that it's not our making here, that's our small three-person staff. It's the cumulative work of everybody in the community working for the community. And that's the image and the essence of what I'm thinking needs to be the next 40 years of the existence of this facility.
Well, thank you, Joe.
Well, thank you very much for all the work that you do. You've Two Feathers, I heard the name, but I haven't really done a program about what you do. And I'm really glad I did, because what I learned from this is that you have been listening. You have been dialoguing. You have been maintaining our cultural lines. And that's the reason why we're still here. That's a big reason why we're still here. I think that's really great, and I applaud you for that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Two Feathers' mission is to inspire healthy and balanced Native American communities in Humboldt County. To achieve their goal, they work with Native American children and families in a good way, which includes using culturally based interventions that promote holistic health and developing respectful collaborations with both Native and non-Native agencies. Their phone number is 707-382-0629. 707-382-0629. Located in McKinleyville, California, at 1560 Betty Circle, McKinleyville, California, 95519. Their website is Two Feathers, all one word, spelled out, -nasf.org. Twofeathers-nafs.org. You have been listening to Nahuan Community Warriors for Change Radio, featuring the Two Feathers Native American Family Services. This has been a production of the Kamau Medical Center Board of Directors and the Hoopa Community Coalition, known as Nahuan Community Warriors for Change. The production host and engineer has been Joseph Orozco. The music bed has been provided by B.C. Smith from the Smoke Signals soundtrack, titles Fry Bread, A Good Day for Breakfast, and Fry Bread Riot. For Nahuan Community Warriors for Change and KIDE, we thank you for listening.